Good morning.
Good morning.
Hoyas Valedoras. Consider the hummingbird for a long moment. A hummingbird's heart beats 10 times a second. A hummingbird's heart is the size of a pencil point. A hummingbird's heart is most of the hummingbird. Hoyas Valedoras, flying jewels, the first white explorers to the Americas called them, and the white men had never seen such creatures, for hummingbirds came into the world only in the Americas, only here, nowhere else in the universe, more than 300 species of them, whirring and zooming and nectaring in Hummer time zones, 9 times removed from ours. Their hearts hammering faster than we could clearly hear were our elephantine ears pressed to their infinitesimal chests. What an active and dynamic church this is. You can come here almost any time of the day or evening and find a slew of people in committees, task forces, classes, book discussions, covenant groups, worship, and meditation. As you walk our halls, you can hear serious conversations, laughter, at times weeping, singing and music, and children playing. You may have noticed that almost everyone who comes through our doors leaves with either a smile on their face or a look of contentment or enlightenment or excitement. And this is a place people want to come back to, and they do. Did you see the results of a Pew study, I believe, in February that showed 3 to 5% of the American population claimed to be Unitarian Universalists? That comes to around 1 million people. The strange thing is, we only have 200,000 people on our rolls. This shows there are many more people who feel that our faith speaks to them and for them than come through our doors. They are the ones we need to welcome and make room for in our congregations. There are many reasons people are attracted to our liberal religious movement, but one of the most important is that we're always making room for those who are marginalized in our society, those who were rejected by other religions because of their resistance to irrelevant tradition, oppressive hierarchy, and irrational faith, those who insist that truth cannot be monopolized by any religion, and those who were kicked out of Sunday school classes or ostracized by friends or family because they dared to doubt, to ask questions instead of simply accepting others' answers. But there's another way in which we are always making room, and this is why many of us are Unitarian Universalists. We are always making room for possibilities. For what can happen if we allow it to. For hope in a brighter future. Reverend Michael McGee read the essay written by Brian Doyle called Hoyas Valedoras. As you heard in our reading, that's a scientific name for hummingbirds or flying jewels. Now that sounds more like poetry than science, but it couldn't be a more apt name. The Reverend McGee and his wife have a perennial garden that attracts hummingbirds in the summer, and whenever one of them spots one, they yell to the other, "Hummer on the butterfly bush," or "Hummer on the lilies." And they, whatever they're doing, they stop and they gaze out of the closest window to spot the flash of beauty flitting from flower to flower. When they or I see a hummingbird, we are momentarily lifted up out of our daily routines to a place of hope. If the earth can make such flying jewels, then all can't be so bad. Doyle tells us that hummingbirds visit 1,000 flowers a day. They can dive at 60 miles an hour. They can fly backwards. They can fly more than 500 miles without pausing to rest. Hummingbirds also have incredible, enormous, immense, ferocious metabolisms. Doyle tells us, but they pay the price for such fast-paced lifestyles. It's expensive to fly. You burn out. You fry the machine. You melt the engine. Every creature on Earth has approximately 2 billion heartbeats in a lifetime. You can spend them slowly like a tortoise and live to be 200 years old, or you can spend them fast like a hummingbird and live to be 2 years old. 2 billion heartbeats. 2 billion heartbeats. The question for you this morning is, how do you wish to use your 2 billion heartbeats? Hummingbirds use their heartbeats to do what comes naturally to them. Their DNA programs to shoot across the skies and to sip nectar from every flower they come across. Their beauty is in living their true nature. And so is ours. Many people believe that human nature is to be selfish and egocentric. It's every man for himself. The fittest survive while the weak wither away. But the evidence points to the opposite conclusion, that our natural inclination is to be generous and altruistic. Did you know that charitable giving in the U.S. is about $300 billion a year? And you can double that figure if you have the value of volunteer time given to nonprofit organizations. That makes altruistic action one of the biggest contributors to the U.S. gross national product. Now, some would respond that these figures are not the result of true altruism, of a real opening of the heart, but are instead manifestations of self-interest, a sign of guilt and displaced neuroses, or perhaps just irrationality. But there is evidence that now that more and more people are responding to the pain and promise of the world out of a sense of what's called creative altruism. Creative altruism has been defined as the innate capacity for unselfish service to others motivated by love. It's creative altruism that moves us away from a closed heart that always asks, "What's in it for me?" and towards an open-heartedness that puts at the center of our lives the values of community, compassion, and commitment. When these values unfold from the center of our being, they penetrate into every part of our lives, our creativity, our sense of morality and justice, and the way we relate to those around us. The moment we go beyond looking after number one, we begin to become transformed, becoming more aware of the larger purpose of our lives and the fuller meaning of existence. The irony is that altruism is not so much something you strive for as something you grow into. Ram Dass and Paul Gorman point out in their book, How Can I Help?, that the suffering of others spontaneously releases our desire to help out. What they tell us is that the natural human response in the face of pain is to care and to heal. To respond in any other way is as unnatural as a hummingbird walking instead of flying. The reason we don't always respond to the world's pain with caring and compassion is we are too often blinded by our fears, expectations, and personal needs. When we can free ourselves from those traps of the ego, when we can quiet the mind and open the heart, then the natural tendency is to commit ourselves to service and generosity. And on top of all that, altruism is sexy. In a recent Washington Post article entitled, If It Feels Good to Be Good, It Might Only Be Natural, the author writes that recent research shows that when volunteers place the interest of others before their own, the generosity activated a primitive part of the brain that usually lights up in response to food or sex. Altruism, the experiment suggested, was not a superior moral faculty that suppresses basic selfish urges, but rather was basic to the brain, hardwired and pleasurable. It does feel good to be generous, doesn't it? Think back to the times in your life when you've been especially generous and altruistic. I would guess you wouldn't want to take back any of those experiences, would you? So not only is altruism delicious and sexy, but it's also deeply religious, giving support to the admonitions of spiritual leaders such as St. Francis of Assisi, who said, "For it is in giving that we receive." Isn't it amazing that just as hummingbird is hardwired to dive at 60 miles an hour and to fly backwards, we are hardwired for empathy and altruism? Our brain has a built-in compass that, as a result of evolutionary processes, constantly points us to what is right and good, compassionate and healing. Through this awakening to our true nature of altruism, we learn the spirit beyond the words of Albert Schweitzer when he wrote, "I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be truly happy are those who will have sought out and found how to serve." After writing about the heart of hummingbirds, Brian Doyle describes the biggest hearts on our planet, those of the blue whale, with hearts as big as rooms. He goes on to write, "So much held in a heart in a life. So much held in a heart in a day, in an hour, in a moment. You can brick up your heart as stout and tight and hard and cold and impregnable as you possibly can, and down it comes in an instant, failed by a woman's second glance or a child's apple breath, or a shatter of glass on the road, or the sight of a cat with a broken spine dragging itself into the forest to die, or the brush of your mother's papery ancient hand in the thicket of your hair, or the memory of your father's voice in the kitchen echoing as he's making breakfast for you. To me, this is what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist and a member of this church, to constantly be breaking down the walls that close off our hearts so that we may make room for the spirit of life, of love, and compassion. We make room in many different ways, but they all have to do with service and generosity. The way that Reverend McGee and I have chosen to make room and to make a difference is to dedicate our lives to this liberal religious movement because we believe from the bottom of our hearts that Unitarian Universalism can be and is a significant force in transforming our lives and our world. I've experienced that. Reverend McGee has seen the transformation and witnessed it in his church, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Arlington, Virginia. I'm certain many of you have seen it in our own church. It makes one feel with hope when time after time you witness the difference we make in the lives of those who enter our doors and our lives, those who are touched by so many rich and powerful ways by this congregation, as well as those who are touched in our community, in our nation, and in places like New Orleans, Romania, and in a multitude of other places and ways we will never even know. There's an old Celtic saying that we all drink from wells we did not dig. We warm ourselves at fires we did not build. We are here in this church because of the many who've gone before us, their love of this church, of Unitarian Universalism, and of the values we promote. And we are here to dig wells, to build fires for those yet to come, to give them a place where they can transform their own lives and our world long after we are gone. Anne Lamott tells a story of a child about seven who had wandered too far from her home and had become lost. She ran up and down the streets of the big town where she lived, but she couldn't find a single landmark. She was very frightened. Finally, a policeman stopped to help her. He put her in the passenger seat of the car and drove around until she finally saw her church. She pointed it out to the policeman, and then she told him firmly, "You can let me out now. This is my church, and I can always find my way home from here. Yes, this is the place, and these are the people who help us find our way home, who help us live by our truest nature, and who help us open our hearts in compassion and commitment to those who need our love and generosity. Welcome home, friends. Welcome home."